When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, you guys. Welcome to the Inner Growth Podcast. On today's episode, we are in for a treat. I just finished recording with Alyssa Bryloff. She is an amazing spiritual content creator. She's a Reiki healer, a brand consultant, and she calls herself a soulpreneur, which I love. She is all about like living your life connected to your soul and just living with a sense of intention and awareness. And in this conversation, we kind of dove into her own inner growth journey. So her journey as an entrepreneur, all the growth that activated for her, how she first came into contact with Reiki and how that evolved for her, how she became a healer. We also talked a little bit about being a sponge, like being an empath. How do you protect yourself energetically? How do you find a sense of grounding and safety in your body if you live in a big city or just, you know, if you feel like you're constantly stimulated? We talked about just like the realities of healing and working through limiting beliefs and so many amazing things. It was such a powerful conversation and I absolutely loved it. She also has these amazing angel number socks. So she gave me a code for them and they will be linked in the description if you're interested in getting them. They're so cute. I have some myself and I just love supporting my friends' businesses and small businesses overall. So definitely check them out if you're looking for some cute socks. And without further ado, let's just jump into the episode. I know you're absolutely going to love her. She's such an angel. She's literally just a grounding presence and truly a pure, amazing soul. So let's hop into it. Let's get growing and I'll see you on the other side. Hi. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
How's your day going so far?
You excited? I mean, it's like a heat wave in New York, so I'm just melting. We were talking right before this, like, don't get pregnant where you're going to be in your third trimester in a heat wave in the summer. I'm just putting that out there. You're welcome. You'll thank me later because I'm unwell.
It's like you're just going to have to be inside in the AC.
Yeah, basically. It's where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited to be recording. It's so fun to record in person with everyone. And I'm still kind of adjusting even though I've been doing it for a little while. And I feel like I was trying to think back to the first time that we met.
I know. I was just thinking about
this. But I can't remember the first time.
Yeah.
Maybe it was like in an event or something. And
oh, I know. It was the... What was that?
Was it Mind Body Project?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, but we were like connected and following each other for like and talking before then. Yeah. Because I initially found your podcast somehow. I don't remember how. And was just like obsessed with it. And
wait,
then,
really?
Yeah.
You discovered me through the podcast?
Yeah. It was when it was like very astrology focused.
Wait. Maybe it was the Astro series yes. that I did.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wait, that's so fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So now full circle moment. Full now circle. You're in the podcast.
I am here.
This is so fun. And the first thing I like to ask all of my guests is... Can you just give a little intro on yourself mm-hmm. and then also share your sun, moon, and rising?
Love it. So
and more if you want.
Okay. So I call myself a spiritual soulpreneur, which essentially is an entrepreneur, but with a more intentional and soul-driven, like mission, purpose-driven
approach.
And so how that works is I work with brands in the wellness and spiritual space. I create content. And then I also have my own brand that I, you know, make content for. I do energy healing. I do meditation. So I kind of wear many hats and I also make spiritual products. So I do kind of a bunch of different things. And for my astrology chart, so I'm a Virgo sun, Leo rising, and Aquarius moon.
Wait, you're a Leo rising?
Yeah.
I don't think we had talked about your big three.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, which I feel like makes...
Yes, in the sense that I feel like I can come across probably with social media, like, a little bit more outgoing and, like, maybe not, like, less approachable, but just, like, that's the message I've gotten from people. And then they get to know me and I'm actually, like, more grounded with the Virgo. And that's what I feel more to my core is, like, a more grounded, not reserved, but, like,
Like the earth energy. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like you're such a Virgo.
Yeah. Like I'm like a typical
like the healing kind of like side of things. And I also feel like when with the Leo, that means that you have a Taurus midheaven.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like your career house is also very grounded and very much like earthy and like connected to the physical body and things like that.
Yeah. And I feel like the fire kind of gives me like a push to like do things more. So yeah.
What about the Aquarius moon? I'm so curious about Aquarius moons because my mom is an Aquarius moon. Really? My brother's girlfriend has an Aquarius moon.
Oh, interesting. So you're really connected.
Curious about how you feel about it.
For a while, I didn't like really resonate, but then like I look back and I realized that there was like, because it's, you know, your emotions, right? Like,
yeah.
So I like kind of felt for a while that I was like in a spiritual closet and that I was not really sharing my truth. And I still kind of can get into that shadow aspect of like being a little bit more reserved. But then when I leaned into like, you know, it's kind of like that feeling where Aquarius kind of feels like they're like an outcast.
Yeah.
So it kind of felt like that for a lot of my life in certain aspects. But I feel like the more I lean into that, into the authenticity, I'm able to like shine and be more of a leader in the space. And I do feel innovative in a lot of ways. So I feel like that does resonate. But it's about like navigating the three because I kind of feel like I'm sometimes at war with all three of them. Like they're very different.
They're a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I also feel like Aquarius and Leo are opposite signs.
Yeah.
So that means that you have your moon in the seventh house. It could be in your eighth, but seventh house is all about your relationship. So it's also like a lot about your romantic relationship and partnership and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like feeling like you're drawn. Maybe is your husband a little bit more analytical?
Yes. He's a Gemini all across the board, like double Gemini, Taurus. So I feel like we relate because we both have the same Mercury, like our communication and stuff.
Which Mercury?
I guess it would it be the
same?
No,
I don't think you would have the same Mercury.
Oh, I guess the Mercury rules both of our houses. Is that what it is? If you're a Virgo and a Gemini?
Yes.
Yeah. And then we have like other similar things, but then we're like also very different. Like I'm more grounded, obviously, with the Virgo, but he's more practical and like realistic. And I'm a little bit, I think the Aquarius makes me a little bit like
dreamier.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Pedro actually is a Gemini, but his sun is in the Virgo house. So he has a lot of both of those energies. Yeah. So I'm pretty familiar with like that intersection. I feel like it goes really well.
It
like,
does.
Virgo.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, sometimes we can butt heads, like obviously, but I think he helps me to be a little bit like more in the clouds and a little bit more one practical, but then sometimes like I feel more childlike. Like he brings out more of the fun and lightheartedness with the air, and I'm like a little bit sometimes can be too in my head and perfectionist. So he helps me get out of that headspace.
Did you know that 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, it's time to make 2024 the year that you finally check it off the list using Babbel. When it comes to learning new languages, something about me that a lot of people actually don't know is that I'm fluent in 3 different languages. Because I grew up in Brazil, I speak Portuguese fluently, and then I also am fluent in English and in Spanish. But I also am currently learning how to speak Italian because I started learning it in college for my study abroad program in Milan, but then my program ended up being canceled, so I never really got the chance to fully learn Italian, which is why Babbel has been coming in so handy for me. It's a science-backed language learning app that was designed by real people for real conversations, and Babbel's tips and tools are super approachable. They're rooted in real life situations and they are delivered in the app through conversational based teaching. So I've been using Babbel to learn how to order food, ask for directions, and speak to merchants so that next time I go to Italy, I can practice my Italian and also speak confidently. So if you're also on a journey to learn a new language, I have a special limited time deal for our Inner Growth listeners. Right now, you can get up to 60% off a Babbel subscription. And this is only for our listeners at babbel.com/growth. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/growth, spelled babbel.com/growth. Rules and restrictions may apply. Ciao.
Yes, as a Taurus, like an earth sign, I also resonate a lot with that. It's like we need that little playfulness, energy, and just like sometimes realizing that we're taking some things too seriously.
100%.
Yeah, exactly. So in terms of like your own inner growth journey, what do you feel like has been the biggest source of growth for you? Or like when did your inner growth journey start?
Probably when I started doing my own work and like in the sense of being a consultant and kind of leaving the more traditional work space. I always like think of this and people say it a lot and it resonates a lot with me that having your own business and being an entrepreneur is like a spiritual awakening. And 100%. Like you go through so much growth in that and you learn so much and there's constant ebbs and flows. There's constant ups and downs. And I don't know why, but I told you I was not sleeping last night. And I woke up and thought about this of like all of the businesses that I failed at in the sense that like I only failed them because I didn't launch them, not because I launched them and they didn't do well, but all of these ideas that I kind of started or was going to create and then I just dropped them off. And not that in the sense that it's a failure, but a learning of like it wasn't the right time. You know, there were certain things I learned from all those experiences that got me to where I am. But I think what I've learned the most is you only fail when you don't try. Mm-hmm. And so I'm continuously putting myself out there. I'm continuously learning what feels in alignment for me. And that's like my biggest mission is to be in alignment with my truth and to help others to see that in themselves.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true. Like when you're working for yourself, it's literally like you're always going through ebbs and flows. And yeah. Like you're going to have phases of like a lot of growth and then phases of maintenance, phases of like doubting yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of this continuous coming back to like your purpose.
Yeah.
And how did you come up with the concept of like a soulpreneur? Like how did that come to you?
Well, I was working for myself for a while and you know how it's kind of the term like a solopreneur. Uh-huh. I didn't like love that. And I did work with a few people. Like I've worked with different brands and different creatives and like-minded people. But what I realized was like for a while, it was more about the freedom. Like I loved that I could work with any client. And then I started realizing like I have to tone this in and really feel like what's aligned. Like I can't just take on everyone. I have to work on with brands that are truly in resonance with what my mission is, you know, whether I'm creating content for them or I'm helping them with a strategy. So I think it just came about of like, I'm very spiritual and I wanted to somehow bring in that essence into my work of like, how can I be more authentic and just intentional with the work I'm putting out and how I'm showing up as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, and like in your personal branding.
Yeah.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really cool. And how did you like first come into spirituality? Because like, as I was saying before, we have known each other for a while, but we haven't talked about like your journey as much. I don't even know if we've talked about mine that much either.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm really curious about how you came into spirituality. Like how did it come into your life? Like how old were you? What started it? And yeah, let's go back to the beginning.
I had a very interesting story and upbringing. So my grandma, she's my babi, a Jewish grandma, and she got into spirituality through, she was having a lot of pain. She had like a condition in her face that caused her pain. So she would go get Reiki. And I was really young. I was 8 years old about, and she took me with her to her Reiki circles because like, she was like, I think you would really like this. I was really anxious. I was going through just stuff with my parents, divorce and, you know, typical kind of like navigating different life situations.
How old were you?
I was 8 at the time.
8, okay.
And so she took me to kind of this Reiki circle that was specifically for children. So people were bringing their kids and it was like to help them learn that there's energy and that we all have energy and how can you work with your energy. So that was my first initial interaction and I guess exposure to this type of healing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really realize, I don't think at the time, obviously, that it would stick with me, but it really did carry throughout my childhood, throughout my young, like adult life. And looking back, I see all the times that it really was part of just ingrained in how I lived. So from going crystal shopping with my grandma and, you know, like before they were like even a thing, like I would like go and pick out crystals specifically for like, I had anxiety, you know, I was like young when I was like, I just want, if I was homesick or whatever, I was having a stomach ache, like I would use these tools to help me. And she would give me Reiki and just like, she would constantly help me to see that I had this kind of power within me. And then fast forward to, I kind of had my first panic attack, I guess, in high school. And I started just having like heart palpitations and really bad anxiety for no reason. And that's when I started to see a regular Reiki practitioner that would help me with my chakras. And she was specifically helping to move the energy throughout my body. And that's when I really got into chakras in general and just like the power of our energy centers and how like if one is off, like the others can be off and like what each one means, like why does this one mean this? Why is it causing this reaction in my body, like physically and emotionally? Uh-huh. So that like stuck throughout college where I had essential oils with me. Like, I had crystals with me. I would try to help my friends, like, if they were going through things, like, to see, like, here's other ways to calm down. Here's other ways to, like, kind of go inward. And then had, like, kind of a reawakening, I guess, after my grandpa passed. So I was, this was, like, right after college, about, like, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Actually longer, because I've been out of college longer than that. I don't know. But he passed, like, a few years ago, and I think I just, like, wanted to feel connected to him still, because we were really close, and I wanted to know that I was connected to the universe. And so I just started seeing angel numbers. Like, that's my whole angel number, like, journey, that I started seeing 333. So I wear my 333 necklace, and to me, because it means support, and I felt that I was being guided from the universe. And this was also around the same time that, like, I was going through a huge transition in work and my career, and, like, that's when I was, like, leaving the corporate world. And so it was, like, a lot of change at once, and I was starting to go to, like, workshops. I was learning more about astrology. I was really just, like, doing all these things to discover more about myself, like, self-awareness, self-discovery tools that was just teaching me more about, like, what made me, what made my energy unique, how could I work with it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really the intention to, like, serve or help others. I just feel like that, like, happens, I guess, as a Virgo. Like, it just naturally happened. But,
like, naturally in college, we're, like, carrying crystals, right? And, like, asking people what was going on.
Yeah. But I did always feel like my friends came to me for, like, advice, and I felt, like, nurturing. But I didn't realize that's really what I wanted to do. I actually, one of the businesses that I almost started was a subscription box for spirituality tools. Like, this was literally, like, my marketing assignment for my senior year graduation. And it was before subscription boxes were a thing. So, like,
oh my gosh.
I had this whole idea.
Visionary energy.
Yes, exactly. And I had this whole idea of just, like, I'm going to launch this. And then I took a step back again. It wasn't the right timing for me, and I'm glad I didn't, because then I felt like the space kind of got, like, really saturated. But, you know, that kind of started this journey of, like, I want to somehow bring this into a business. Like, I know that I'm going to help people in some way. Mm-hmm. And it just started happening. Like, I got reattuned in Reiki right before the pandemic. And again, was morally using it for myself, but throughout the pandemic was seeing that, like, people were coming to me and, like, wanting Reiki, and I was offering courses, and I was starting to create and share more about, like, my teachings and, like, the chakras and just what I've learned growing up.
When did you start your page?
I started my Instagram. So it's funny. I started in college, and my Instagram was so different. It was very much focused on, like, food. Like, I was known as, like, mm-hmm. I kind of became, like, an influencer before it was a thing, because I just posted food. I loved, like, really pretty looking food.
Like, recipes?
More like...
like, restaurants.
Restaurants. And, like, honestly, unhealthy things, because I'm, like, I eat junk food sometimes. And so it was, like, anything that just, like, looked good. It was, like, eating, you know, like,
yeah, those foodie accounts. Yeah, I actually, like, fun fact, I don't think I've ever talked about this before, but side note, when I was in college, I actually had an Instagram called Hungry Caro.
Oh, my God.
And I used to go and, like, post about restaurants that I would go and try in Philly and, like, yeah, just share, same. Like, oh, like, got this Brussels sprout to, like, the Continental or whatever, like, the different restaurants, and, like, tagged the restaurants.
Right.
And then COVID hit, and I was like, okay, I guess, like, there's no use for this account anymore. Right. Like, I can't go out to eat. That's how I started, like, cooking at home and, like,
wow.
Kind of went into, like, more of the wellness side of things, too.
Yeah.
And then eventually, like, started a new account, like, shifted yeah. everything. But I also, like, used to have that kind of content.
Yeah. And then I think it just shifted when I moved to the city, and I was really feeling like I needed tools to ground myself. And that's what I was like,
yeah,
okay, how can I lean into wellness? How can I, like, I was always a healthy person, but, like, I was just, how can I nourish myself more and ground myself in this crazy,
like, you need it.
City. Like, you need it. So I was going to meditation studios and posting about that. Like, I was just finding things that I could, like, share about. And I had, like, a little blog. And it was just kind of, like, growing organically. And it's been a slow growth. But, like, I've been doing it in the sense that, like, it just feels, like, authentic. Like, as I've gone through the years, it just has become more aligned and more authentic as I've grown.
Yeah. And so that was, like, around the time that you decided to leave the corporate world?
Yeah, like, I had an Instagram following already at that point a little bit. And that was back in 2018, I would say. Yeah. And then once I kind of transitioned, I was consulting full-time. I was doing content and influencing.
Were you doing, like, brand consulting?
Yeah, brand consulting, brand partnerships. And then COVID, like, once I got reattuned in Reiki, that's when I was like, how can I shift this content and show up more and, like, share more of my voice and not just, like, the wellness side, but also the spiritual side too.
Oh my gosh. Wait, this is so cool. I'm like trying to piece it all together. So I feel like it was like, ever since you were little, it was always there.
It was always there. Yeah.
Like the seed was planted when you were so young.
Yeah.
And similarly, but not in the same exact way, my mom is an energy healer. She doesn't do it like that much. But the type of energy healing she does is like a, like an Asian technique. Mm. And it's, the studio is called Mahikari. So it's like, they're not allowed to like charge for services. Like they're not allowed to charge for energy healing. You can go and get like energy healing for free in any dojo. But I used to go with her when I was very young as well. Right. And I remember, like, I guess I was just like exposed to that from a very young age. And I was also like very drawn to like astrology and like different little spiritual tools. So I feel like when you're drawn to it, like it usually starts like when you're young. Like it's always a part of you. And when you moved to the city, I'm really curious, like how, well, where did you go to college?
Yeah. So I went to school near Towson. It was near in Maryland, near Baltimore. So it was kind of like a city school.
And then you moved to New York right after?
Yeah. I'm from like outside of Philly. So I was, I went home and I thought I was going to like find a job there. That was my plan, was to go back home because that's where I'm from. And I was like, I want to be home. And then I honestly found my first job through an Instagram DM, which is crazy. Like an agency literally DM me and was like, hey, we like your Instagram. Do you want to have an interview with us? And I was like, okay, like it seems so sketchy. Like,
came to you.
It came to me, and I was like, I didn't at the time, like social media was just becoming a thing. I didn't realize you could even do that as a living. I was like, what? I could post on social media and get paid? Like what? And that's really when like influencers were coming about, and I was learning from the brand perspective how to work with influencers, how to create campaigns, how to launch, you know, things with the brand side, but I was also growing my platform too. So it was like kind of an interesting
duality on both sides. And I feel like the brand side is also so interesting.
Yeah, for
sure. Just like knowing more about it. Like it's such a useful skill to have.
Yeah.
Because whenever you create your own brands,
yeah,
like you can apply everything that you've learned.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool. So yeah, I guess like it's so interesting how it started so young for you. But then when did you get your Reiki certification? Like when did you decide to become certified?
So I guess once you kind of have it in you, it's always part of you. But like I, at that point, I was only probably level one, meaning like when I was young throughout until college, until...
But you were already level one.
Yeah, I already had it in me that I could give myself Reiki. But I wanted to be able to give, like have the option to give others. So that's when I found a Reiki practitioner who, she's a Reiki healer, master healer who did Holy Fire. It's a type of Reiki. And so we connected and she offered me, like we did an entombment together. I did one of her things and it was literally like a few months before the pandemic. But again, like at that time, I still wasn't thinking like, I'm going to help people. It was more just like, I wanted to get an upgrade. Like it's what it's called. You can get upgrades. So I got an upgrade. I got like the Holy Fire, which is just a little bit more of a intense and like, it's a really beautiful type of Reiki. So I did that. And then I started, you know, the pandemic happened. I started seeing people. And then a little bit post pandemic, because I don't know, it was like the in between stage. Like I decided again, since people were online, I was like, I'm going to get another attunement of the virtual space. So when COVID happened, they actually like the Reiki masters around the world, I don't really know the correct terms, but they came together and Reiki became stronger through online. So you can send it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like distant Reiki you can send, like, because it goes beyond time and space. And you can send it through the screen. You can send it to somebody from their past. You know, like it doesn't have to be like in the moment.
But is that the specific, like, what is it? Ring of Fire? Rectifier? Like, is that that specific or just in general?
In general, Reiki just became more strong through the digital space because people, like, there was this upgrade, essentially. So I got upgraded again, and that was, almost 2 years ago at this point. And as soon as that happened, that's really when people started coming to me. And I was not putting myself out there, like, as a Reiki healer.
Like,
I feel
like it really grew as a thing. Like, getting Reiki healing or, like, working with healers online.
Yeah. And that's when people were coming to me. And I was like, when things come to me in that way, like, I know that that's part of my alignment of, like, trusting and offering that medicine.
Yeah, definitely. And how does that play a role, like, energy healing, chakra work, like, in your day-to-day life?
In my day-to-day, I still use it all the time on myself. Like, before I came here, I Reiki'd myself. Like, I do it every day. And it's more for me to connect with my own energy and to clear out, like, I can naturally pick up a lot of people's energy. I'm an empath. In human design, I don't know if you ever talk about it on your podcast, but I'm a reflector. So
a reflector. Yeah, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
But, like, reflectors are very rare.
They're really rare, and they all of our energy centers are open, which kind of makes sense that I'm into chakras because it literally, like, I'm a mirror for other people to see what their own health and what they need to kind of work on. So I can trigger
every single center.
Every center. So I can take on people's energy easily, and I have to be really, like, that's why doing my own energy healing on myself and, like, protecting myself and realigning my chakras daily is so important. And that's why I think I've always felt so connected to them, even before I knew that I was a reflector, what that was. So
wow.
Yeah. And that's what I keep coming back to is alignment. And, like, I have a method I came up with called the aligned method, and it's basically a method that goes through each chakra to help you feel in more alignment with your truth, with your authenticity, with your essence, based on, like, your energy type, based on what's going on in your body and your own energy and, like, your limiting beliefs, your background. Like,
is that, like, what you use when you're working one-on-one with people?
Yeah.
Is that what you, like, anchor your content in? Or is it just in general, like, your philosophy?
It's just kind of my philosophy, and I'm trying to weave it more into my content. Like, I've been sharing more about it. I recently have been on, like, a few panels where I shared the method, and I'm, like, creating courses around the method.
Can you give us a little rundown?
Yeah. I'll just walk through, like, what it is, essentially, it, like, in a quick way. But essentially, so each letter is associated with a chakra. So the root chakra is A for awareness, and it's all about the first step of, you know, energy and change and growth is getting an awareness with where you're at. And that's also the root chakra. It's huge when it comes to understanding the foundation. You can't grow.
Like, get real with yourself.
Right. And you can't grow without a steady foundation. So you need to become aware of, like, where you're at. That's the first number one step. And then part two, the next step is leaning into the sacral chakra, which is our emotion center and our joy and our creativity. So that's all about leaning into and listening to what is limiting us from joy and pleasure, our limiting beliefs.
What's the L?
Limiting beliefs. So it's all about, like, yeah, it's all about listening to what is limiting us and stopping us from feeling joy and from creating, like, these beliefs that we picked up in childhood that we're repressing, our shadows, like, all these doubts. And then you go into the solar plexus, the power center, confidence, and it's all about intention. It's kind of like a two-part. So it's identifying a new belief. Once you've kind of recognized the limiting belief, it's identifying a new belief. And then it's also setting intentions on how you're going to take daily action to work through that belief, because, like, intentions are great. And the solar plexus is what fires us to actually take the action, especially with our self-worth.
Right.
So that's, like, and so those three are the lower chakras. That's, like, that's our internal world. That's our upbringing. And then you get into the heart. So G is gratitude, and obviously, and it's all about love, and but also from a place of forgiveness for yourself, for your past, for others, looking at all these shadows and all these kind of, like, lower energies and this inner world, and having gratitude for where you're at and what you've learned.
And even for the pain.
Exactly. For the pain, everything. Because in order to really get more of what you want and be attracting and abundance and all these things and in alignment, you need to have gratitude. Like,
I literally saw a thread about this the other day. And it was someone just – I think I re-threaded it. And it was just like, gratitude is the, like – biggest manifestation force.
I love that quote. It's
something like that.
It's basically – it brings you closer to magnetism because it's just such a high vibrational frequency. But it's hard. Like, it can be tough when you don't look at the shadows and the other things and you don't work through those first. It can be tough to then be like, I'm so grateful for everything. So you really have to, like, dig deep into that subconscious. And that's where all those lower energies kind of play. And then we go up. So the heart is the bridge between the lower chakras and the upper chakras. And the upper chakras are your external and how you present to the world.
Fun fact, on the human design centers, only my upper chakras are open. So, like, all of my bottom chakras are closed. But then I'm pretty sure I think it's just my third eye and my crown.
Wow. And what type are you?
Generator.
Yeah, so you probably have, like, a lot of ideas constantly, and, like, you feel really grounded. Yeah.
From, like, other people's ideas or, like, other people's anxieties, and, like, I'll still pick up on that.
And it's probably I think, what is your energy center that you have to lean into? Is it your
sacral?
Sacral. Yeah.
But like my authority, I think it is, mm-hmm. is actually solar plexus.
Okay.
So I'm like, or no. I'm an emotional.
Emotional. So you have to lean yeah. into your emotions to make decisions.
Yeah.
And what feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Wait. Keep going.
Okay. So then you go into your throat chakra, which is your communication, obviously, how you express yourself, express your authenticity. And that is non-negotiables. So and non-negotiables and saying no. So in order to get what we want and to be in our truth, we have to learn boundaries. We have to learn to speak and say no to things that do not align with us, and we have to have these non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. So it's about finding what those are for you and working through those. And then going into your third eye, obviously your intuition, it's all about expansion and embodiment. So this is like the manifestation part of it, but first we have to have the lower and all these things in place. But essentially, you know, this is really where you're looking at other people and you're looking at your triggers and you're where you're feeling envious. So it's really about like, how is this person being a mirror for me of what I need to embody more of? So how are they expanding me to see what's possible for me? One, because that's really when you're envious of somebody, it's envy to expansion. That is a invitation to say that is something I desire for myself. And so it's looking about other people as mirrors for how are you judging them in the way either you're triggered and you're not fully embodying that trait, that quality, that whatever it is, or how are you envious of them because you really desire that for yourself.
Yeah, so but then also what's really hitting for me is embodiment.
Yeah, which is huge. Like you need to have, because the embodiment really plays into the intuition. You have to trust yourself and you have to, with full conviction, believe in yourself and embody that. It can't just be
like you have to embody what you're preaching. Mm-hmm. Like you have to be the example.
Exactly. And then from there, it's really, you know, the crown is the last. And that's one we're always working on because we all have different purposes. We all have different connections to the universe. But us being here is a divine. But D, I should have made it divine. But D is desires and downloads. And that's really listening to what your purpose is calling you, because your desires is your purpose. What you feel you desire is really what you're supposed to yeah. do.
And oh my gosh, like this is a conversation I needed so badly today, and I'm so happy we're talking about this.
Oh my God, it makes me so happy because I like need to share more about it. Like it's to me, you know, when you make something up, you're like, does it make sense?
No, I literally can't stop smiling because it makes so much sense and it's so important. And you're like kind of like verbalizing it and like concretizing it in such a easy to grasp way.
Thank you so much for saying
that. No, I literally mean it. And side note, but I got into chakra work and like energy healing work and all of that mm-hmm. during COVID. So mm-hmm. in 2020, I don't know how, but I was just like stumbling upon different meditations on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I was just like typing like 10-minute meditation or something. Like that's how I kind of got into it. Well, I did a challenge. And then once the challenge finished, I was just doing the YouTube meditations. And I think I stumbled upon a 10-minute chakra balancing meditation.
Yeah.
So it just was like a kind of like a basic one, like affirmations for each chakra. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. you just kind of go through it. And then I started doing the meditations for each one. So it was like 10-minute or 15-minute meditations for each chakra. And I was doing them like consistently. When I was doing for a period of time, like only root and sacral, I started having like a lot of random bleeding. And like,
I remember my IUD got out of place. With your period, you like did a root chakra meditation and you got your period back or something.
Like I just started bleeding and I still had an IUD. So I like took it out and like that also kickstarted me like connecting more with my cycle. And then, like, I honestly haven't done them in so long, but mm-hmm. when I first moved to the city, I was going to this place called The Well, and I was mm-hmm. getting Reiki there, and I've done Reiki healing, like, virtually, and it's so powerful, like you were saying, like, when I got the Reiki healing virtually, like, I literally, like, felt it so strongly in my body, like, I was, like, shaking a little bit, like, it was so nice.
Right.
And it's been a while. I think the last time I got Reiki was, like, February of last year, so it's been a while, and I feel like when you're really connected with it and really consistent with working through the chakras and, like, mm-hmm. constantly tuning back in, it's really powerful. But even having the layer of, like, you being a practitioner, I feel like you're able to spot the imbalances more easily. Like, sometimes, I can't really tell what's imbalanced, but then that's where your framework is really helpful.
Right.
Because you're able to spot, like, oh, which of those letters, like, am I feeling the most stuck with now? Am I feeling really envious and jealous? And, like, is that what's coming up? Or is it that I'm just, like, not being able to be grateful? Or am I just, like, ignoring all the things that I'm doing and I don't have any awareness of myself right now? Like, there's all these different things we can tune back in
to. Yeah, and to me, that's coming back into alignment. Because it's not about them all being, like, perfectly balanced. Like, that's not realistic. Mine aren't. I'm always working on my root chakra. I'm always working on feeling safe. I mean, probably because the Virgo, like, I need stability. But also, like,
New York.
But also New York. And, like, I'm working through limiting beliefs. Like, I'm constantly working through my lower ones. And those are really important to me. And then I was just going to say one other thing with the crown. The last part is downloads. And the downloads are really where the angel numbers come in and the universe and the pings. Because once you start listening and paying attention to those, you start trusting the universe more. You start feeling more connected to it. But going back to the Reiki part, you don't have to necessarily get Reiki in order to connect with these chakras. It's really about just understanding what each one, the seven main ones are. And noticing the symptoms for when they're blocked, quote unquote, or when they're opened, so that you can be like, okay, you know, I'm feeling anxious. That probably could mean like my root is, I'm not, my nervous system is not regulated. And like that, I think that's why I always talk about that one is we need a regulated nervous system. And I feel like that's becoming such a popular conversation.
I'm happy it's a trend.
Yeah, it's like a trending, like nervous system regulation. But it really comes down to like feeling safe in your body and feeling
safe in your space as
well. Safe in your space, yeah.
And how do you like to regulate your nervous system?
So I just did a post about this. Let me try to think of the things I posted about. Essentially, I'm always working with my root chakra. So things that basically help me feel grounded, especially in the summer, like getting my feet on bare grass as much as I can, or if I'm like, you know, not in the city, you can't do that, obviously.
You can go to a park.
But you can go to a park. Anything that really helps you feel connected to the earth. So like meditations that help you feel centered.
Being in the ocean is just the best for that.
I mean, it's like that when I meditate, like I think about being on the ocean, like that's my happy place. And which is funny because I don't really have – my big three doesn't have any water. But, like, I feel so connected to water for some reason. So,
do you know your Venus or your Mars?
My Venus is Libra.
What about Mars?
I actually don't know. I'll have to look into that.
I mean, Libra is ruled by Venus. So that's a great placement to have.
Yeah.
But I was wondering if you had any, like, Cancer.
I like, don't have really Cancer in my chart.
I guess we all have... in your 12th house, so, like, your spiritual house is very much, like, nurturing.
Well, and what's weird is that my 12th house is opened.
Like, you don't have any planets.
Yeah.
I have Pisces 12th house.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't – and I don't have any planets there either, but I still feel like it plays a big role in my life.
Yeah. Doesn't that mean that, like, you kind of already went through in different lives, like – I don't know if this is
energy.
True.
Like your 12th house, like the sign right before your rising sign. Mm-hmm. So for example, I'm an Aries rising. So for me, my 12th house is Pisces. For you, Leo rising. So your 12th house is Cancer. And that's kind of like the energy we bring in from like a past life. Mm-hmm. Or it's like more of like our subconscious even.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. I need to look more into that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just do things that help me connect back to my body and help me feel safe. So like, you can do alternate nostril breathing. You can do tapping, somatic therapy, like different somatic things you can Google. But my favorite is probably just like honestly listening to sound therapy. Like I literally will just put on
high vibe frequency
chakra frequencies on Spotify and like
it helps so much. I haven't done it in a while, but I have a little playlist that I like a lot. And
especially when like you're on the subway, like commuting and you just kind of like feel like you need protection and like recentering.
One thing that I do similar to that is like whenever I'm walking on the street or I notice someone like looking at me weird or whatever, even if I don't look at them, like I can tell that they're looking at me, I just like envision this like bubble around me, like a little like hamster bubble, like they can like have in a little kid's party or something, but like that level of like surrounding me, like that circumference in like just a light.
Yeah.
Like just a white bubble surrounding me. So like any negative energy that would like come my way would be just reflected back.
That's great. I mean, that's like our aura extends outside of us. So like technically people, if you're trying to protect yourself, you're protecting your aura and like people from coming into that energy field. So
yeah,
it's a really good method to use.
Side note on that, like on like auras and your energy field and things like that, I feel like there's some people that just like don't like being hugged because of various reasons.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm like a hugger.
Yeah.
So I wonder if like because I'm such a hugger and I'm like so touchy and like I just like greet people with a lot of like warmth, if like that's kind of like tied to why I pick up on like other people's
maybe
kind of like anxieties and like thoughts.
I mean, I feel like that also probably is what you were saying with the human design, that those are open channels, like that.
Yeah.
And you're probably just an empath in general. So
like,
I think
I can be a sponge, and I also am very intuitive. Like,
yeah,
little like funny little comments. But when you came in the door, went to my apartment building, you like brought up my Amazon box that had just arrived.
Yeah.
And right before you got here, when you were texting me that you were on the way, I was like eating my lunch, and I got an email notification that my Amazon package arrived. And I literally had a thought. I was like, for some reason, I feel like she's going to bring up my Amazon package.
That's so weird.
And, like, I, like, thought that, that I knew that that was going to happen. But it's so random. Like, how?
I love that. You're just very, like, intuitive. You're just, yeah, you're connected.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for that, like, the protection bubble is great. I love using smudge, like, really mindfully when I come back from anything that's, like, a lot of energy.
How do you do it mindfully?
I'm sourcing it from places that I know is sustainable, and it's from cultures that I'm not like trying, you know, it's hard because a lot of this is feels like whitewashing and appropriation. I really try to be mindful of like my intention for using it.
Mm-hmm.
Where I source it. And
but like, where do you actually get it from? I'm curious.
So Energy Muse is like one of the places that I go to, and then you can just find places that have like, that are really sourcing it sustainably and in a, I don't know the top of my head, but like I have so many like, because I don't use it all the time. Like, it lasts forever. It lasts so long. And I've just kind of gotten some that I know are from a really good source, from a sustainably, like, not harming the trees and coming from, like, shamanic and, like, you know, integrated places that are of integrity.
Okay, got you. And about, like, that, like, in the vein of smudging and, like, energy clearing and things like that, like, just a little question I have, mm-hmm. actually. Every time I light Palo Santo, it just, like, goes out, like, very fast. Like, is there a trick to keeping your Palo Santo, like, lit longer?
Well, you have to make sure the smoke is turning. But the trick is you have to see that the smoke, like, the flame turns orange. So, like, when you light it, you want it to kind of turn, like, darker. Like, you want to hold it until you're watching it just, like,
kind of catch on fire a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. But Palo Santo isn't the same as smudge. Like, it's smaller, it's wood, so it's gonna burn faster than
like sage.
And it's just like a quick thing, but I always, like, if I'm gonna sage, I always end with Palo Santo, because saging essentially gets rid of every energy, like even good and bad. So that's why, like, bringing in a nice smell, whether it's like a nice spray or aromatherapy, a room spray, a candle, or obviously Palo Santo, like, that helps bring in good energy. So you can use it on its own, but like, I just tell people if they're saging to actually follow it up with something. Yeah. So that you're kind of bringing in like this new energy essentially.
Yeah. 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 On the vein of like empaths and just like picking up on other people's energy, and also like because you're so attuned to the chakras and to like your own energy, like for example, let's say right now, like you're just with me, like there's no one else really around. Like, are you able to tell like if a certain chakra of mine is like open or closed or blocked, or do you have to really like tune in and like get in the zone to like actually see that or pick up on that?
Yeah. I definitely lean more into like, if I was doing a session with you and like Reiki specifically, I would just kind of feel where my body's telling me to like put my hands for you, and like maybe like thoughts that are coming up, or I ask my clients ahead of time, like what is coming up, and they don't necessarily know it's for the chakras, but like I know that if they're saying like they're feeling anxious, I'm going to work with their root chakra. If they're feeling ungrounded, you know, I'm going to start there, versus if they're like having other types of emotions come into play, like that might be, or like love, or you know, whatever they're going through, I know like how to work with the specific chakra for them. So it's more about like being really mindful of, I would sit with you and then see what
like
was coming
open
up
to like pick up on it. Cause I was always curious, you know, for people who are energy healers or who work in this space, like how it affects you if like you're around a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, if I pick it up, then I have to discern like what isn't mine. So like if I went home and like was feeling a certain way, I'd have to kind of just clear it and know it's maybe not my energy and know the difference between, is this mine? Am I taking on somebody else? And I actually did a reading, an Akashic record reading recently. And the woman told me that one, I have to protect myself more with my Reiki because I haven't been protecting myself enough when I'm giving it. And that I had seven energy types that were not, like energies that were not mine that I've picked up that she like cleared. Wow. And I felt so much lighter afterwards, but like, I didn't know that. Like, I felt kind of like a heaviness, like since I moved, like there was just like a lot going on in my life, but I didn't realize it was like, you know, that I had picked up that many people's energies. And so she also told me, like, one of my protectors, my angels, is Archangel Michael, and he's like huge with protection. So she told me to like really lean in on that energy of like this blue light of
wait, just... I've been told that before
too. Really? Yeah. I've been told it so many times. So he's like the protection angel, and this is really also why I feel like throughout my pregnancy, which I can get more into, like I really leaned into feeling protected by angels. Like I was wearing my 444 angel number socks to every appointment, and now I like realize that, like, you know, he was probably with me and like protecting me and my other guides. But even if you believe it or not, like, it doesn't hurt. You know what I mean? So, oh, yeah. Like, just calling on that energy, like, she even told me. And then I had another reading like a few weeks later, and the person said the same thing, like, call on protection and Archangel Michael for, like, when you're having these thoughts, these ruminating thoughts, just like let them out, like whether it's talking them out to like the guides or writing it out on a journal, like brain dumping in the morning and getting it out so that like it's not yours to hold.
Yeah, it's so funny that we're talking about this. I feel like in the last like week, I've been really reattuning to my spirituality and connecting with myself on this level, because this was like a big part of my life in COVID, like in 2020 and even the beginning of 2021. And over time, I guess since moving to the city, I've gotten a little bit more disconnected from it. And in the last like literally like few days, I've been like brain dumping in the morning and like really like taking my mornings more slow and really paying attention to like the songs that are coming up on my shuffle and like different little coincidences and like things that are connecting to each other in conversations that I'm having or podcasts that I'm listening, like just putting the pieces together of like different experiences that I'm having. And one thing that has been coming up a lot is this concept of being a sponge and being an empath. And the funny thing is that growing up, or even like a few years ago, like my parents probably would still say this to me, but they're like, oh, you're not empathetic. But I actually am like very much an empath, and I pick up on people's emotions. But what ends up happening is I like pick up on it, and then I embody it. And then I like, I'm acting out like their anxiety.
Yeah.
And so I'm starting to learn how to like separate energetically and learn to be able to tell when something isn't mine. Like when an energy is just someone else's, and when a limiting belief is someone else's. And the thing is that we live in a world of so much stimulation, content, things flooding our brain. So sometimes it's like you might have just seen a TikTok where someone was talking about an experience, and then that just like is absorbed into your energy field because you're not cautious about being like, that is that person's story and limiting belief and problem, and it's not mine to absorb.
So when I first learned about human design, I remember, for at least reflectors, but it goes for empaths too, the saying of observe, not absorb. And that is what my mantra is when I feel like that is coming on. Like, I'm like, okay, how can I be a mirror for people and live my purpose as a human design, as a reflector, without absorbing it, without letting it be mine? Mm-hmm. And it is hard. Like, it takes work. But using these tools and coming back to that awareness is the first step. Like, literally journaling it out, you start to, like, pick up and realize, like, wait, like, what? Like, I'll notice things. I'm like, that's literally, like, my mom shit. Like, that's not even mine. Like, I don't need to hold that. I don't need to take that on. I can release that. Another thing I like is selenite. Like, I love carrying selenite with me to protect me and cleanse.
Is
I love
white, like
the white wand. I have the big one at home, and I just kind of – like, I go through over my chakras with it and just clear those out with it. And that's a great, like, smudge-free option that you can, like, bring on the go or use to just clear that.
Mm-hmm. Is your husband spiritual?
I think we're all spiritual. Like, we're all...
Yes, but I'm just saying, like, connected to this stuff.
Because, in the answer...
Pedro is a Gemini, too, and he's, like, not very
connected. No, the right answer is no. Like, he's not. But he's open-minded, I think, with his Gemini-ness, you know? And because he's more analytical, like, he just needs, like, to see things, you know? Yeah. He needs to, like, have evidence of stuff. And we actually just were on, like, our baby moon. So we did meditate together. And it was his first time doing, like, a sound bath meditation and, like, just being open to it. Like, what I've noticed is I lead by example, and I can't force him to do this work. He has to want to do it. And, like, him even just doing that and being open to it was like, it meant something to me, and I really appreciated it so much. And like just having his energy like sitting next to me, like I just felt connected. Like, I'm not gonna sit there and ask him to like do that all the time, but like he got what he needed out of it. He took something out of it that he was like, wow, that was really nice. Like, this is what came up for me, and like we spoke about it, and I feel like it opens the door to like other things in the future and like being more mindful of stuff. But he supports me, and that's really what matters to me is he. I don't think many people, guys maybe, that I like at least I'm friends with or the kind of people I grew up with would accept that. And I just feel like not that that's like the gold standard, but like everyone should, like your partner should accept you. But like at the same time, it's this, it's a difference between just accepting and like, you know, he appreciates what I do and he knows that it's meaningful to me. Just like he golfs and that's his thing. And I have to like let him do that. This is my thing and what brings me joy.
Absolutely.
And he would never stop that or try to change it.
Yeah, I guess in my relationship, it's pretty similar. Where, like, Pedro's not spiritual necessarily, but he's open-minded and he respects how much I love astrology and how much I love talking about, like, these different things. And sometimes he'll, like, do breath work with me or, like, do a meditation. And, like, it's, like, the little things. Like, it matters more than they realize, I think. 100%. And in terms of, like, your pregnancy, what do you feel like it's taught you the most and how have you approached it, like, in a spiritual way?
It's taught me to slow down. It's taught me presence because – and just, like, embracing the now because there's so much unknown with it of, like especially the first trimester, I was constantly thinking the worst. I was, like, just every appointment I was, like, scared something bad was going to happen or that, like, it was going to be taken from me. Like, I was just having a lot of fear come up around it. And I think it comes back to, like, probably limiting beliefs and, like, abandonment issues of just, like, my childhood. Like, I'm sure there was definitely things there that I, like – I've learned, but it really taught me to like just kind of lean into like the process of the now and like that I can't really control everything and I just have to trust. So the first trimester, even though it was really hard, like I just kept trusting that what was supposed to happen for me was happening. Like if this baby was going to make it, like that would be my story. And it's hard to kind of go through that, especially as like somebody who likes to control things and likes to plan and think about the future. So I was
in perfect Virgo energy.
Yeah. I was like constantly thinking about like, how can I rush through this and like go to the next trimester when I can tell people like, how can I rush? And then in the second I was like, okay, how can I rush through that? And like, start doing all these, like the little, you know, like planning, like the doula and all the things I need to do off my to-do list. Like, and I just kind of felt like I've been rushing it because I wanted to just get through.
It's like when you're trying to plan, you're low-key kind of rushing it. Yeah. Like you're not being in presence sometimes. Right. And I resonate a lot with that, like quality. You're just like doing that a lot.
Yeah.
Consciously.
And now that I'm in the third trimester, I'm like, holy shit. Like, I wish it would just slow down. Now I'm like, I realize like how presence is so important and how like. Yeah. Not trying to like rush through, like I have to go through these little steps and these like discomforts or like these learnings to get to the next level to be a mom. So
But you're gonna be an amazing mom. I can already tell.
Thank you. But yeah, I'm still like there's still moments where I'm like I woke up at 4 a.m. of like I haven't read enough baby books. I'm not doing enough. Like I need to do more. And it's like I think it's showing the shadow of the limiting belief I have of not being enough, which comes up for me a lot in work, in now pregnancy. It's that limiting belief that I'm not enough and I'm not doing enough. And that's what I'm working through right now through this just lesson.
Being like, I'm enough.
I'm enough. Right.
There's never going to be an enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's profound. That's like powerful. Because I feel like that all the time too. It's like it comes up a lot. I think for earth signs, especially like if you have Taurus, Capricorn, or Virgo in your big three, it's like very, very prominent.
Yeah.
To feel like you constantly have to be like measuring how well you're doing against like other people or against like a measure of success that's super intense or unrealistic. Yeah.
It's a big worthiness component, like just not feeling worthy enough, which – that is what I'm always working through because as I've like started to just manifest things in my life and work through more sharing about manifestation, like self-worth is where we manifest
it's
from.
It's so key.
It's so key.
Because it's like that gratitude, but then it's also just being like, I deserve it. I'm enough.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
But it's hard on the conscious level. Like on the conscious level, you can believe that. You can think that, right, in your head. Like, I know I'm enough. But on a subconscious, like deeper level – and these were like these triggers and these shadows come up. Like if you really don't have evidence or you grew up not believing that, you have to go through those layers. You have to peel back like how do I get back to like that authenticity, to that alignment, knowing that I am enough, but like not on a conscious level, on like such a deeper level. You have to really go inward and yeah. do that shadow work.
But I feel like that like requires like intention, requires silence. Like it how does. Do you access that? Like if someone's listening and they're like, oh, holy shit, like I feel like I'm not enough all the time, like, but I can tell myself on a conscious level, like I am enough and say the affirmations, but how do you get to that subconscious healing?
That is, to me, working a lot with the sacral, because the sacral is our emotions. It's our joy and our pleasure, and it's connected so much to our inner child. So if we're repressing like emotions, like if we have, you know, pain in our hips, like that's like a key indicator. Like that's where all of our emotions live, is our really? Hips. Mm. Sexuality, like fertility issues, not like getting your period.
The actual hip here hips, on the side.
Yeah, and your sacral, like your whole pelvic area, like I used to have a lot of period issues, like, and that is really tied to your emotions and to your childhood. And it's also
what about bloating and like
that ties into it, but I feel like that's more solar plexus, which does go back to your confidence and your worth, because I also had a lot of stomach issues growing up, but like nothing that was like, you know, it was the typical IBS. It was the typical like, you have anxiety, just like manage your anxiety and you'll be fine. Like, and yeah, I went gluten free and that helped tremendously, but I realized like my stomach issues went away when I started to lean more into my confidence and into my inner power.
Okay, what's like your number one tip to activate confidence and inner power?
So confidence is doing the things you say you're gonna do. It's taking the little steps. It doesn't have to be a huge thing, but it's taking those action steps that show that you can trust yourself. So when you start doing things over and over that you say like, okay, it could be a little thing like, I'm going to go on a date. I'm going to match with this person. I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to give this person my number. I'm going to connect with this person. Like whatever it is, like the little things that you can do to take the first step and start building off that and committing to, like it's a commitment to yourself. And it's,
and sometimes committing to yourself means doing things that are really uncomfortable or that you've never done. And I feel like what's coming up for me recently is kind of like grieving my old self in the sense of just being like, yes, my old self did X, Y, and Z, but like I don't want that to be a part of me anymore. So let me just like hold space to like let that part of me go. And then like once I'm able to let her go, then I can create the new self.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's death of ego, which you need your ego, obviously, to live and to – you need a healthy ego. It's not about, like, killing the ego. We want a healthy ego and balancing that. But when we're able to, like, look past our ego and really just lean into our authenticity and, like, our true innate worthiness, we're able to evolve into the person that we actually are. And those shadow elements, those pieces of us, the old patterns and the old parts of us – start to die away. And like it's scary because it's uncomfortable. Like I'm going through this now as I'm like changing and I'm getting through a new identity and work is changing and just like everything about me is changing and I have to lean into trust and I have to take these baby steps of like one, just kind of like going with what is and not trying to force, but also to like leaning into those moments of confidence and like keep going. Even if it's scary and hard and I don't know what's on the other side.
Yeah. It's like releasing that control.
Yeah.
Especially with like motherhood. I feel like if there's anything that just completely transforms you and changes you and you can't control exactly how,
it's motherhood. I like met a couple on my baby moon and they were like, I told them I don't know how this came up, but we were talking. I was like, yeah, I'm a perfectionist. They're like, you're going to fuck up. Like, let that shit go because you're going to fuck up, but you're going to be great. And I feel like that's what it comes down to is like, it doesn't have to be perfect. I'm going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
But it's going to be, you know, I'm going to learn from it.
It's magical how like someone's comment can literally like echo in your brain, like resonate in such a deep way.
And like, we were just like walking on the beach and they started talking to me. Like, and that's when I'm like, okay, the universe, that's when it's communicating to me and I have to listen.
Yeah.
Nothing's a coincidence.
Like pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I can't believe it's almost been an hour already. So let's do some rapid fire questions. I do this in every episode. So if you listen to a few, you probably know what they are. Okay. But first one is, do you have a quote or mantra that you come back to frequently or that you love?
I have so many, but I think it's just like the most resonant one is like following your truth and like what lights you up. If it's not a hell yes, like I love the expression, it's a hell no.
Yeah. Also, observe, not absorb.
Observe, not absorb.
Yeah. I like that one a lot also. Yeah. And do you have any books that you love or that have been a big part of your journey that you would recommend to anyone listening?
Power of Now, Untethered, I never know how to say Untethered Soul.
Those are okay. So good.
And
so good.
If anyone's like trying to conceive or just like thinking about that, Spirit Babies was like, I read that before I even was trying. And I just like felt so connected to like, we're all babies. Like we come from spirit. Like we chose our parents. We chose the path that we wanted. And the book just brings like to light so much of how we are connected with, you know, like babies and our future children.
Okay, next question. What makes you feel like your higher self?
Oh my God. I love that. When I'm saying yes to things that really feel in alignment and when I'm doing things that bring me joy, because I've noticed that like joy is ultimately what brings me magnetism.
Okay. Very last question is, if someone didn't hear anything from this whole episode, except this part, what would you want to leave them with?
Leaning into awareness and into your own energy is so important. Like just understanding yourself on a level of what makes you you and how can you tap into your own inner knowing. You're your own guide. Like we all have these tools within us. I know it's so cliche, but it's so true. Like we all are our own guide and all you have to do is really lean in and listen to that.
Yeah. And sometimes it's really hard to listen when you have so much noise around you.
Yeah.
Like noise, not even like literal noise, like music or whatever, but also like people.
Yeah.
Social media, like texting, emails, like it's important to tune in. And sometimes you need silence or you need to like be really intentional to create that, especially if you live in a busy
100% city. Yeah. Finding alignment within yourself and your truth.
Yeah. Amazing. Oh my God. This was so fun. Thank you so much for coming on the pod. Can you plug yourself, tell people listening where they can follow you or just be in the loop of your world?
So you can find me on Instagram and TikTok. I'm not really on there, but Alyssa Bryloff, and that's my website as well. And I sell angel number socks on my site, and I have my offers, my Reiki offers, and I'm working on this course. So hopefully we'll be sharing more about the aligned method and just how you can find more alignment within your life.
I love that. Everyone go give her a follow. Thank you guys so much for listening or watching if you're watching on YouTube. And if you're enjoying the podcast, remember to hit the plus button on Apple and the bell icon on Spotify so you can be notified of all of our future episodes. I'll see you guys next week. And until then, remember to water yourself. And I'm sending you a big hug. All right, bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.